Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. A sower went out to sow his seed. But we know there's a lot more to it than that, don't we? There is all the preparation that takes place beforehand. First, the farmer needs to test the soil for its pH balance. And the farmer needs to check the soil to see if it has the proper nutrients for a seed to grow and flourish. And then there is all the plowing that needs to go on and the composting and providing any nutrients that are needed. And the farmer then makes sure the ground is all level, and as he plants the seed, making sure that each one is spaced out properly and planted at the proper depth. And in this way, in this very controlled environment, he has done everything that he can to ensure a flourishing crop. Except that's not what Jesus says at all, is it? He says a sower went out to sow his seed, and some of it, well, it fell along the path, and it got trampled underfoot, and the birds came down and ate it up. And some of the seed, well, it fell among the rocks, and it had no moisture. And some of the seed, it grew up among the thorns, and the thorns growing up with it choked out the seed. And then there is the good soil where the seed flourished. So Jesus is telling us not about a farmer who is making sure everything is in order, but rather a sower who is not interested in pH balance or proper nutrients or making sure the ground is perfect, but rather a sower who sows his seed and scatters it freely here and there and pretty much everywhere. You see, the problem that we have with this parable is that we, like the world, do not understand it. In fact, when the disciples asked Jesus to tell them what the parable meant, he said to them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But to the crowds, to the world, it is told in parables. And the fact is that they are not going to understand." But honestly, each of us as well, according to our sinful nature, we don't really understand either, because we listen to the parable and we think, oh, it's all about the soil. We need to make sure that we are the right kind of soil, and then God will be able to do his work in our lives. Then he will be able to produce in us what he wants to produce. And we need to make sure that we are not the wrong kind of soil, because if we are, then God simply cannot work. He cannot do what he is set out to do. But this is completely wrong. Jesus tells us first and foremost two things in this parable. First is the sower. And who is the sower? It is, in fact, Jesus himself. Jesus is the one who sows his seed. And then the second thing is the seed itself, which Jesus says is the Word of God. And what do we know about the Word of God? Well, as we heard today in the Old Testament reading, the Word of God produces, it accomplishes the work for which God has sent it. It does not return to him empty, but in fact succeeds in the purpose for which he sends his word. So we must always remember these first two things in understanding this parable. And that is that the sower is Jesus. He is the one who sows his word freely and scatters it. He does not determine those who are simply not receptive to his word and say, well, I'm not going to sow my word there in the life of that person. But rather, he wishes to sow his word in the hearts of everyone. Jesus Christ is the sower. And then the second thing is that his seed is his word. It is only when we understand these two things that we can then look at all the different types of soil and what it means for us in our lives. The first type of soil is that of the path, where it was trampled underfoot and the birds came down and devoured the seed. This is picturing the work of the devil. Just as we receive, there are those who receive the word of God and they hear it. The devil is ready to swoop down and take that word away from them so that they may not believe, so that they may not produce fruit. It is easy to fall into the trap of the devil, to not carve out time each day to be in the Word of God, to not devote one day of the week to being here in the house of God to hear His Word and to receive His very Word connected with the bread and wine of His very supper, in which He gives us His body and blood for our forgiveness. Instead of devoting ourselves to the Word of God, too often we let the devil come in and take it away from our lives. There is also the seed that is sown among the rocks. And this seed, it grew, but it had no moisture, and so it quickly withered away. Jesus says that these are the people who hear the Word of God. They receive it with joy. Everything is great. But in times of intense trial, they begin to lose that feeling of joy and they begin to doubt, and soon their belief, it fades away. It is too easy to think of our lives in Christ as being based on feelings. That if I don't feel the joy, then God must not really love me at all. And it's too easy to fall away. Rather than trusting in the Word of God and what it says to us, that Jesus Christ is always with us. There is another type of soil, and that is the thorns, where the seed grew, but it grew among thorns, and the thorns crowded out the plant, and soon it was not able to grow. Jesus says that these are those who hear the word, but then they begin to crowd out the Word of God in their lives with many other things. They pack in so much to their lives that they begin to worry about all the things in their life. Or they begin to trust in things like money and possessions. And they begin to indulge in the pleasures of this life, instead of realizing that all of the things that God gives us are indeed good, but they are, in fact, fleeting. They are for a time, and they will not last forever. Instead, we should trust in the Word of God, which does last forever. Now, there is one other type of soil that Jesus mentions. It is the good soil. And Jesus says that these are those who hear the word of God and they hold it in an honest and good heart, and enduring, they hold on to it and produce much fruit. Now, this is the end of Jesus' explanation of his parable. And what shall we learn from this description of those who are the good soil? Will we go back to the way of the world or our own sinful nature and turn Jesus's parable upside down and think that after all he has done, that he is the sower, his word is the seed, and he accomplishes what he intends to accomplish, and then turn it upside down back to what we must do, that we must be good soil, that we must hold the word of God in an honest and good heart, and only then can God accomplish his work. So if we are to have an honest and good heart, then let's be honest and recognize that we do not, by nature, have an honest and good heart. Do we not confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean? That in fact, we are not good soil. Not the unbelievers, not us ourselves. It is in fact Jesus the sower who goes about the work of accomplishing what he has set out to accomplish. And he does so by sowing his seed. It is the word of God. He is the one who brings about in us what he wishes to bring about in us. If there are those, and there are those, who reject the word of God, it is not the fault of the word of God, let alone the fault of God himself. If there are those who hear the word of God, and the thing that all of them have in common is that they hear the word, it is their own fault. And if we are to be honest, since we need to have an honest and good heart, we need to recognize that means humility. It means repentance. It means recognizing that we too often fall into the trap of the devil and too often get carried away with the things of this life instead of devoting ourselves to the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the one who is at the center of the entire written Word of God. It tells us of his atoning sacrifice on the cross. And this atoning sacrifice, it was to make atonement, to bring people at peace with God. This is sinners, and that includes all of us. This is how we are to recognize what it means to be the good soil. That Jesus Christ, in fact, has accomplished what we need, that his word does in fact bring about what he has set out to accomplish. And so there are two things we should listen to when we hear the word of God. One is the call to repentance. We need to repent of our sins. But we need to keep listening because it tells us also of the forgiveness that Christ has come to bring. He has saved us. He forgives us, and he continues to work in our heart and our lives by bringing about what he has set out to bring about, accomplishing much fruit in our lives. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.